That's the sign. You already talked it to you, so. Yep. Councillor Sleeman is happy to be the second alternate for the roads. Great Southern Roads, actually, did you nominate for deputy or main person for that, Councillor Hoppy?
I'm happy with whatever.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, do we, if Councillor Hockey takes the main member, do we have a deputy for the roads, regional roads group? I'm happy to get on that in a second. So the Walga meeting, Councillor Phillips and myself have put forward, is anyone willing to be the proxy for those with the dates known that got sent out by the CEO? Councillor Davenport? We need one more. Yes.
Look, Walga is a fairly important thing to go to, and it's one that's all over the place, and it's often difficult to get to every single one. So it's really important to have a couple of proxies to try and make sure that the Shire's well represented. So if anybody wants to go and see Walga at work, that's your opportunity.
Standing orders is suspended, so if you wish to speak. So Councillor Lewis as the second proxy. Councillor Phillips is nominated for the Great Southern Development Board Commission. Councillor Campbell is nominated for Denmark Arts. There's a new appointment for the Chamber of Commerce, mainly because I wanted a quick discussion around this. It has been in the past been the president or deputy. Nathan and I previously discussed that we can handle it. I just wanted to know if anyone else was really wanted to fulfill that position or, and had any arguments as to why. No? Okay. And it'll be myself with the assistant of the deputy. I can't get there. Okay. Right, I move we reinstate standing orders. Is it? I have a seconder, Councillor Campbell. All those in favour of restating standing orders? Unanimous. Okay, back to the top. Can we move these
Yeah.
Do I have to move the number?
I'm happy to do it, Mr. President.
Yep, so have a move to accept these all on block, which Councillor Gibson, do I have a seconder? Councillor Campbell? All those in favour of moving this on block is in one whole
group. That's A to J on block.
A to J, yes, yep. All right. Filled in. That was passed unanimously. So now, do I have a mover for them on block? That's correct.
Internal motion, isn't it?
Sorry?
No, Mr. President.
All right, sorry, that was a miss on my part. That is now approved.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Sorry, President. I thought we had an alternate motion.
Yes, we have. So that was just for the areas prior to the alternate and prior to the extra motion. Sorry. One second. Okay, so now instead of moving on to Q, I just want to move forward to put it in the same area to the office recommendation of 9.3.1. You both got them as Q. On the second page, at the meeting held on the 28th of October 2025, Councillor Phillips nominated for Council representation of the South Coast Alliance Executive Committee. Councillor Phillips has since informed me she has resigned of this position and Councillor Lewis has expressed interest. So I would like to move, firstly, does anyone have any questions to the officers on this item of moving and nominating Councillor Lewis? No? Then I would like to move the officer's recommendation that nominate Councillor Lewis as the additional elected member representative for the South Coast Alliance, including the Executive Committee. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hockey, I don't feel the need to speak on this yourself. Does anyone wish to speak against this motion? Yes.
I'd just like to make a comment around this motion. Councillor Lewis has represented Council on this committee for a long period of time and didn't put a hand up at the time, and nobody else did either, so I put my hand up hoping that I could represent Council. But knowing that Councillor Lewis is pretty keen to continue, I'm pretty happy for her to do it because she's got all the background to what's been going on. So that was my reason for withdrawing.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak to this motion? All right, all those in favour of the officer's recommendation? Unanimous. We now have a alternate motion from Councillor Phillips. It's coming up screen. Do you wish to read your motion out, Councillor Phillips?
Do you want me to read it out?
Yes, please.
Sorry, my motion is that Council defer consideration of the OCPA officer's recommendation 9.3.1K to P to discuss the framework for the representation of councillors on local groups and the establishment of council working groups at a future concept forum.
Are there any questions about the motion or clarification to Councillor Phillips? I'd like to ask the executive, if through the CEO, if you have any comments on the motion.
No, thank you.
Okay. Do we have a seconder for this motion? Councillor Lewis? Okay. Councillor Phillips, you can now speak to the motion.
Thank you. I'll read to you from the officer's report, and it's section four, the background to this recommendation. And it says, following the October 2025 local government election, Council has an opportunity to consider the relevance, requirement for, function and purpose of its internal committees and working groups. It is also an opportunity to consider providing members or delegates to external organisations. It goes on in point six around the framework discussion that councillors play a critical role in representing the community and contributing to informed decision making. And it goes on to say that councillors may also participate in other meetings that support government governance, regional collaboration and community engagement, but officers have provided a proposed framework for making the decision regarding ongoing membership. And my belief is that we've put the cart before the horse. I think it's important for the officers to come to council and discuss with council how important they think that these groups are and what the relevance is, and whether we do want to disband these council representatives on these groups going forward. So that's the reason behind my deferral motion.
Councillor Lewis, do you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. I concur with Councillor Phillips. I think we haven't really had a good discussion over this. Been on many committees and working groups over the years, and I've seen tremendous, input from community and councillors on behalf of the community through these groups. So just to dismiss them all out of hand seems a bit previous for me. I think we should have a good discussion around the table as to what takes the place, really, of these various groups to ensure that the community feels represented by their elected members.
Okay. Is there a councillor that wants to speak against this motion? Councillor Yule.
Yep, fairly straightforward from my point of view. I wish to speak against, purely because I agree with the officer's recommendations put forward. Thank you.
Is there a councillor that wishes to speak for the motion? No. Is there any other councillor that would like to speak against the motion? I will speak against the motion. I feel that the officer's recommendation is correct. I think that there is a distinct difference between the committees that we are required to be on and the committees we can be on, and groups we can be on and should be on as our roles of council. I see as these ones that we've previously just corrected are ones that we are saying to those community groups that we must be on your committee and on your group for governance, for council purpose and for statutory requirements. And beyond that, it is up for as individuals and as the community group to approach us to ask us to be on their group, but not mandated for us to be a part of them. So therefore, I support the officer's recommendation. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak to the motion? Yes?
Yeah, I think in terms of community groups, that's something different to some of these working groups that some of them might not be functional, but some of them, an incredible amount of work has gone in, and I just feel like as a council we haven't discussed it. So I don't see the harm in at least having a little bit more discussion around it before making a decision that would mean the end of some of these important groups.
Does anyone else wish to speak opposed to it? Yes, Councillor Davenport.
So not really opposing to it, or just
to it.
Just having a chat, you know. I do agree that some of these groups are obsolete and that we don't need to think. But I'm also not opposed to having a conversation around it as well and just deferring it for a little bit. But I do think that what's going to come out of this is that this is going to be drastically reduced, these groups, because over the years I've been on some that are a complete waste of time, you know. So, you know, like, we do have to make sure that we're managing our time efficiently enough and that we, you know, we are only, I guess, engaging with the groups that have good relevance to what the Shire is doing at this time.
Okay, anyone else wish to speak to them?
Sorry, I just had a question.
Yes.
Sorry, I missed it before. The Great Southern Sport and Recreation Group, I was on that some years ago. It was my understanding that only councillors could vote on that. Have I got that wrong?
Through the chair, they've changed the terms of reference to include officers or councillor. So, yeah, that's what it used to be, but they've changed it.
Okay, so if we don't have a councillor and other councils do, we only get one vote and they would get two?
It's only one vote per
local
government.
Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak to this motion? No? Then I will put it to the vote. Oh, sorry. I will put it back to closing arguments.
Thank you. Look, I would just urge you to vote for this. We're asking for a deferment so we can have a discussion about what otherwise is a very arbitrary decision to take us away from these groups. I'm not asking you not to knock them on the head. What I'm asking you for is to support the motion to discuss it at a concept briefing and go forward from there.
Okay, I will now put it to the vote. All those in favour of Councillor Phillips's motion? Carried. All those declined. Against? Carried. Sorry. Again, all those in favour? I didn't count properly. Or one against. We now move on to item 9.3.2. I will let the CEO read out the declarations of interest.
Thank you. So the first one is Councillor Hockey on this item 9.3.2, and that's an impartiality interest as Councillor Hockey and his family are members of the club. Councillor Sleeman on this item 9.3.2, again an impartiality interest as Councillor Sleeman and his family are active members of the club. And Councillor Wiggins 9.3.2, impartiality interest as Councillor Wiggins is a member of the club. And as in the report provided to Council, I'm also declaring an impartiality interest as I'm a member of the Denmark Surf Life Saving Club also.
Okay, we'll now move on. Is there any questions or clarifications to the staff? Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, yes, in the amended officer recommendation, the clause about allowing fundraising activities for the Surf Life Saving Club during any period when the kiosk is closed, I'm not sure there might be an unintended consequence of that. For example, if the kiosk is leased out, let's say opening at 10 a.m. and the surf club runs a big bacon and egg breakfast from 8 till 10, that would meet the conditions of this clause but could materially impact the takings of the kiosk. Is that something that was given any consideration in drafting this clause?
Through the chair, I mean, it was. I guess I would see that circumstance would be fairly rare given the nature of the kiosk, but certainly something to consider.
Further questions, Councillor Phillips?
So my question is around the lease document, and I'd like a comment from the CEO about the cleaning the inside cleaning of the Surf Life Saving Club, and particularly the members only toilets and showers. Who would be responsible for that? Because it doesn't appear in the lease.
That would be the responsibility of the Surf Life Saving Club, and it would be included in the lease.
Included in this lease, though.
It should be.
No, under cleaning, it's definitely not included. Perhaps we could bring the lease up and have a look.
Through the chair, it's not specifically mentioned, but it's part of the leased premises.
So. It doesn't refer to it at all, in my opinion. So can we look at that particular clause?
We need some time just to check the lease, if that's okay.
Yes.
So section 6.2, cleaning and maintenance.
Through the chair, whilst it doesn't explicitly say that they must clean the toilets and the showers, there's certainly no provision that requires the shire to, and the whole lease is geared towards the lessee maintaining and cleaning the premises, so I think it's well covered.
Thank you.
All right, any further questions to officers? Okay, we will move. Do I have a mover for the amended officer's recommendation? I'll move. And a seconder.
I'd be happy to move it and incorporate my amendment.
Yep, we have to have a live recommendation and then you can move your amendment. So ideally a different seconder. Councillor Devonport. Nothing specific to say on the actual lease document. I think it is well thought out. I think it does cover the contingencies. I think the club going forward will use that facility, and I think it is a great open, the lease now is a great open area for the whole community to enjoy that precinct going forward. Do you wish to speak to it, Councillor Devonport? No? Now we have an amendment. I believe Councillor Lewis, do you wish to read out your proposed amendment?
Sure. So it's to add a part three that states amending clause 5.2H of the lease to read erect any permanent fencing on the lease boundary.
Is there a seconder for that, Councillor Phillips? That amendment is now in debate. Do you wish to speak to your amendment, Councillor Wilson?
the draft lease includes a specific clause that prohibits the erection of any fence or any similar barrier on the lease boundary. This provision is intended to maintain the open and welcoming character of the site, preventing the area from taking on a private or segregated appearance, and ensuring the club remains integrated within the broader community context. By not allowing boundary fencing, the lease supports a sense of shared space and inclusivity, rather than creating a perception of separation and privilege, end quote. However, on reviewing the draft lease, all I could find was section 5.2H under restrictions of use. The lessee must not erect any fencing without the lessor's prior written consent. I did a bit of research, and the photos that I've just passed round are actually of six surf life saving clubs around Western Australia, three in Perth and three regional, some of them very new, some of them older. But the one thing they all have in common is they don't have boundary fencing. So to uphold the vision of Ocean Beach Precinct as a shared welcoming space, I ask you to support this small amendment so that Ocean Beach remains inclusive and inviting for as long as we can keep the ocean at bay. Thank you.
Councillor Phillips, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Oh, I'm happy to support Councillor Lewis's comments.
Okay, does anyone wish to speak against the amendment? Councillor Sleeman.
I think when we deal with the surf club, we need to remember that first and foremost, this is a life-saving club. This is about saving lives and keeping people safe at the beach. And I think it's remiss of us to try and tell them how to do their jobs. Surf clubs need areas to lay down equipment, to wash things like boats, which includes running outboards and jet skis, and there's safety concerns associated with that. They operate ATVs with all their associated risks as well. There are six different surf lifesaving clubs pictured here, all without fences. I haven't done my research, I will admit. There's bound to be a further six different surf lifesaving clubs with fences. I think it's important that Ocean Beach remains an open area and the public are given access to it. However, as I said at the start, we need to remember this is a surf life-saving club and safety should be paramount. And if that includes the erection of fences, then I'm in support of them erecting fences.
Does anyone else wish to speak for the amendment? Is anyone else? Please.
I guess just reflecting on the last 4 years and every time any design has come to council, the architects have always talked about maintaining this open space and not having fences. So I think I appreciate the safety issues, but I'd like to think they could be managed without erecting an offence, and I think we need to be explicit about it, otherwise it becomes very grey.
Does anyone else wish to speak against the amendment? Does anyone else wish to speak in general about the amendment? Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think Councillor Lewis's amendment is very clear that there's no erection of permanent fencing. I think it's worth noting too that the design of the surf club and the whole precinct was done in collaboration with the Surf Life Saving Club, and clearly at no time did they identify the need to have a fenced area that is not fenced in the existing design. But I do think too that it's whilst we're offering a lease to the Surf Life Saving Club, we have a precinct that is a public space and it needs to work for the public. In my view, that is a very high priority. There's a lot of effort went into creating a much larger public realm at Ocean Beach to improve the experience of all the visitors to Ocean Beach. So that was done in collaboration with the Surf Life Saving Club to come up with a design that worked for everybody. Which I believe we've now achieved So I'm willing to support Councillor Lewis's amendment because, you know, where there's a certainly a temporary need or an issue, there's still the capacity to put temporary fencing up if needs be. And I'd also note, which I'll probably note in debate on the main motion as well, that in fact I'll probably just talk about it now so I only have to talk once. You know, this is a peppercorn lease, this is a community lease, it can be amended by us at any point in time. So if down the track we do identify the need for a permanent fence and or the Surf Life Saving Club does and Council's willing to support that, it's possible to amend the lease to allow that to happen. But I do think it's good to send a signal that we value the openness of the space and the way that it works for the whole community as it currently is. And that's relevant in terms of the question I asked at the start of the item about the impact Surf Life Saving Club doing fundraising potentially just prior to the kiosk opening. Whilst that is a concern of mine, and it's a hypothetical concern obviously at this time, I'm happy to support not only the amendment but the motion as a whole as it stands, or the lease as a whole as it stands, acknowledging that if we come to a circumstance where there's a kiosk operator who believes they are being adversely affected by fundraising activities of the Surf Life Saving Club, that is possible to be reviewed through a review of the lease at any time as well. So knowing that we have that capacity to make changes as circumstances dictate, if we choose to, I'm happy to support the amendment and the motion.
Does anyone else wish to speak to the amendment? Yes, Councillor.
I feel Councillor Lewis's amendment is actually in support of what Councillor Sleeman was saying. The wording of it, the amendment, is that it's not to be permanent fencing. So temporary fencing, from my understanding, would be acceptable. So in the circumstances of outboards and things like that, temporary fencing under the lease, my understanding, would be that it would be acceptable. So on surf club days, temporary fencing could be utilised when and where required. However, I also agree that the space needs to remain open. Anyone who's been down there, you look at it and it's an amazing open area and should be accessible to all members of the public.
Anyone else wish to, any other councillors wish to speak on this motion? Amendment, do you wish to close debate on your amendment?
Thank you. Just to answer a couple of Councillor Sleeman's comments. I didn't pick these six because they were open. I looked at all of them in WA, not individually, but I did check to see whether this was something that Surf Life Saving WA required, and it's certainly not. And in fact, I couldn't find one that did have fencing, permanent fencing around it. So I don't think it's a surfing life-saving WA need or desire. In fact, it's probably the other way. They want their clubs to be integrated within the community. The other point that was made that I came across was not having fencing can sometimes contribute to a faster reaction if there is issues. Certainly if there's no fence there, if someone is in problem, is having problems in the ocean or on the beach, someone can quickly get that message up visually to the surf club, and vice versa as well. They can see something happening down there, someone needs help, they don't have to worry about trying to get through a locked gate. They can actually get in there and help someone straight away. So I don't see the need for permanent fencing whatsoever. I think it would only detract from the area. But as a couple of other councillors have said, there's nothing to prevent them putting temporary fencing if they feel it's necessary. To be honest, I think all it would take is probably a sign saying, please keep this area clear, being used for club training or whatever else. So I don't think it's going to be an issue at all. I don't think there's going to be any need for any fencing. But if there is, then there's obviously the option to put up temporary fencing. So I think for the sake of the whole community, as well as for the club itself, it's better that there is no allowance for permanent fencing going forward.
Okay, we'll now put the Councillor Lewis's Amendment to the vote. All those in favour of the amendment being included in the officer's recommendation, put your hands up. That is all bar one carried. We will now return to the amended officer's recommendation. We are now up to anyone who would wish to speak against the officer's recommendation. Is there any other councillors that would like to speak for the officer's recommendation? Is there any councillors that wish to speak to this motion as a whole? No? All right. I will briefly speak in closing. With this amendment, I'm still happy with the lease. I've been around surf clubs my entire life, and I agree the more open they are, the better for the community. I think this is a bit of a change is in perception, and I feel like that if it's required in the future, we know that people can amend this lease, but this gives a bit of a clean slate in the way of the operation. And it takes time for groups, once they move into a new space and a new facility, with modifications and with changes, to appreciate the differences, find new ways to operate, be more efficient, make the most of what they have. And in time, we'll often find the initial grievances with the difference from how they previously operated will have disappeared, and they couldn't imagine it operating any other way. So therefore, with these amendments, I still support and this officer's recommendation. Now go to the vote. All in favour of the amended officer's recommendation, including that includes Councillor Lewis's amendment. Unanimous. So we'll now move to 9.3.2 part B, the officer's recommendation on the screen. Do I have is there any questions about this officer's recommendation to officers or staff? No. Do I have a mover for this officer's recommendation? Councillor Gibson, seconder. Councillor Lewis, do you wish to speak to it?
It's tempting considering our previous item about rates exemptions, but no, thank you.
Councillor Lewis, does anyone wish to speak against? Does anyone speak to the motion in general? Would you like to close the debate? No. In that case, all those in favour of the officer recommendation, that is passed unanimously. Right, we will now move on to item 3.3, the ordinary council meeting schedule for 2026. Is there any questions to officers on this item? Is there a mover for officers? Question?
Just around the locality meetings that states here in Peaceful Bay and Tingledale, is that because Nornlup has had one this year? Why was the reason we excluded Nornlup?
Through the chair, Nornlup and Peaceful Bay were this year, and so yeah, it switches over.
Yeah, okay, so it'll be Peaceful Bay and Tingledale this year, and possibly Nornlup and Tingledale next year. Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Thank you.
All right. Do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? 9.3.3. Councillor Lewis, second. Councillor Phillips, do you wish to speak on the motion?
No, thank you.
Councillor Lewis. Okay, we now have an amendment to this. Councillor Devonport, can you please read out your amendment? Are there any questions to Councillor Devonport on this or officers? Councillor Phillips first.
So in the draft notes, it talks about having the third last Tuesday for 5 hours and the last Tuesday for 2 hours. So that is that referencing both those meetings? Because that's not possible for both the concept forums.
Yeah, it was referencing both meetings, but reducing the time out of one and into the other.
Well, council starts at 4, so we can't possibly have one that ends at 4:30.
Yeah.
Do you want to just firm it up, Nathan, your amendment?
So, on the one that had on a council day, it would be 4 o'clock, we were unsure.
Can we amend that amendment? Yep. It's not live yet, so would you like to amend that amendment to... I'll do Councillor Gibson's question first.
Can I respond to the question?
Yes.
In my reading of Councillor Devonport's amendment, that they be scheduled between those hours does not mean they run the full length of those hours. So just that they would be scheduled to be between those times, whether they were 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. So I don't believe there's a need to change the amendment to address Councillor Phillips' concerns.
Thank you, Councillor Gibson. Is that a...
I'll debate this one. Councillor Gibson might like to amend his amended motion.
I don't have a motion.
No, we don't, but we will do shortly. We have an amendment.
All right.
I can make it public about.
No, if you wish to advise a change to this amendment, and Councillor Devonport agrees at this point, he can change his amendment.
That's taped. The concern I have, Councillor Devonport, is around the concept briefings on council day, where you're giving the opportunity to start a council briefing at 12:30. And continue on till council starts, and then have a Shire Council meeting. And in September, we had one that went through till 9:45 at night, and it's too long. And I think that that's been allowed for in this, the notes, the draft here that says that the one on council day will start at 2. I think to go from 12:30 until late at night, depending on the numbers of things on the agenda, is too much. But it's your amendment.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that...
We can't debate it. Okay. Do you wish to continue as it is?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. Is there a second... any other questions? Yes. Councillor Gibson.
So my question is to officers. So there is a clause in this document that says that the times can be varied by the President. So does that clause still remain? And so, you know, regardless of if this amendment gets up, will the President still have the option to, for example, have a longer meeting if there's material that needs that time?
Through the Chair, yes, that would be my understanding, because it doesn't request that that is taken away.
Any other questions for officers or the Council proposing this motion? Amendment. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Sleeman. Councillor Davenport, you may now speak to your motion, your amendment.
Yeah, cheers. So the idea around this amendment is just that we've probably had a little bit of a dynamic change in council here over the last whatever years. We've got a few people with businesses in here, you know, we've got a driving instructor, a doctor, a sushi ninja over there, you know, like we, you know, I run a bike shop, Aaron juggles life and family, but I'm just trying to make it so that it's a little bit more structured and around our meeting times. So I find sometimes when meetings start before lunch, that sort of caper, I come in, you guys notice that I don't stay for lunch, I usually pop back out to deal with stuff at the shop. So I'm just trying to consolidate the day into one simple session where I can book in a block, or whoever the councillor is can book in the block, and they know that session is taken care of every Tuesday. I just want to make sure that, you know, like going forward in the future, that the council we have now is pretty good. It's and I want to show the population that this is manageable for people, so we have good people come on in the future. I feel that's in the past, we were people of my age, people with businesses, were scared to take on this role because they didn't know about the commitments. If we can make the commitments manageable, then we can have people like that in the future. So that's what this is about mostly. Cheers.
Councillor Sleeman, do you wish to speak to the amendment? Would anyone like to speak against the proposed amendment? Councillor Phillips.
Look, I can't support this amendment when we're setting up a situation where we can begin at 12:30, and for me that would mean leaving home at 11:30 and perhaps carrying on a meeting until late at night, which doesn't happen often, but it's nothing for our meetings to end around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then for me it's another hour to go home. And I work on those days, so I can't support this amendment based on opening it up to have a meeting that could last 9 hours or 10 hours. I think it's an occupational health and safety issue.
Is there any other councillors that wish to speak for the motion? Yes, Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I acknowledge Councillor Phillips' concerns. As I said partly in way of explanation, I think there's a difference between the terminology. So to have meetings scheduled between 12:30 and 4:30 is not the same as to meet from 12:30 until 4:30. And I trust that the President retains his discretion, and obviously the CEO will be mindful, and I don't even believe that the clause about the 2 hour and 5 hour meetings has been removed by this amendment. So I think we still will see shorter concept forums prior to council meetings. This amendment doesn't require that they run for 4 hours, and up until this point there's been no restriction on how long they ran. Like they could have started at 10 a.m. and then gone into a council meeting. So I trust the wisdom and discretion that we have to make sure that our time and our well-being is managed appropriately. Saying we aim to do it in a four-hour block, that's sufficient time-wise for me too. But knowing the President has the discretion to schedule a longer meeting, or, you know, if we have a presenter we need to hear from who can only be here in the morning, then the President can do that as well, as needs be. So I'm happy with this as a guide for how we should try to achieve things.
Would anyone else like to speak against the proposed amendment? Yep, no more against for the proposed amendment. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm concerned. I share Councillor Phillips' concerns. She may be the councillor that lives the furthest away at the moment, so has a lot of travel involved to get here, but no doubt we'll have more in the future. But really what concerns me is, particularly with our previous item when we talked about basically doing away with a lot of our committees, even the officers said that, you know, these things can be dealt with at concept forums. I think our concept forums, if we're going to be getting rid of all these opportunities to discuss community issues, then our concept forums could end up being a lot longer. So I would like the opportunity on those, not the council meeting days, definitely, but on the concept, purely concept briefing days, to have longer meetings. And whilst that's obviously at your discretion, Mr. President, I wouldn't like you to feel that you're limited by this. If we do need to meet for longer, for a whole day, have lunch and come back again, that's fine. Also, sometimes we go on longer than 4:30, and I think in the past often we have, I suppose, stopped, you know, called time on our briefing sessions or concept forums, and it's been rather rushed, and I think quite a few of us have felt that we haven't really had the opportunity to say everything that we wanted to say, to speak openly, and I think we'll be doing more of that, particularly if we end up not having these extra groups that we attend and have opportunities there to discuss things. So I don't really like this. I think it's a bit restrictive.
Okay, is there anyone else to wish to speak opposed to it? Anyone else wish to speak for it? Anyone else wish to speak in general? Yes.
I just don't think it's necessarily. I think if I can play devil's advocate, you've based the hours on those councillors whose work and business you're familiar with, which is an assumption that that's more suitable for everybody around the table. And moving forward, you know, if we're talking about different dynamic and wanting to attract other people to council, it's quite possible that hours outside of that are going to be more suitable. So I just don't think we need to specify. I think if it's at the president's discretion and he's aware of people's needs more generally, then he can just make logical decisions based on the council at the time.
Any other councillors wish to speak about this amendment? I will quickly say only one thing, that during the past 2 years in speaking, I think same as Councillor Campbell, that our shire, being a councillor, should be available to everyone, and I understand in future things may need to modify to suit the people in that room, and that's why we have this item come up in the meetings every year. However, I do feel like one of the biggest barriers to people putting their hand up was the unknown of the commitment. So with it written down like that, and with the majority falling within that, with exceptions, if we require them, I think that does a lot for enabling people who are thinking about coming on council to understand it better, understand the commitment, and potentially put their hand up. Anyone else wishing to speak on the amendment? Do you wish to close a debate on the amendment, Councillor Davenport?
I definitely listen to what everybody's saying and that sort of thing. With it being at 4:30, I feel like there's no, you know, nobody's got any work to get back to at 4:30. If a council briefing needs to go till 5:30 so that everybody's heard, that's a pretty easy thing to happen as well, you know, and it just means that we can have our that morning booked in as a block is more my concern. And I will say that, you know, like, this role's changed a lot over the years. I definitely feel for you, Councillor, Phillips, you know, being at Peaceful Bay. I remember coming into one of my first shire meetings here and staying in this room from 10 in the morning, and I walked out at 11 o'clock that night. I can't remember what we were doing, but the concept briefings were huge back then. It was ridiculous, you know. And it's a real credit to the staff that we've got here at the moment that, you know, like, they've brought things down to a manageable standard for us. Not everything, you know, we've had so much policy clean up. We've had lots of things running a lot more streamlined lately that we're not even requiring our concept forum before ordinary council meeting generally. So that's, you know, a lot of the time we have that time free in just the two Tuesdays each month anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it's only just an idea, you know, and it was just something that I saw that could possibly help make people's lives easier and going into the future, you know, more adaptable. But it's up to you guys, so whatever.
Okay, so now we'll take this to a vote. So this is a vote purely for the amendment to be part of the actual officer's recommendation motion. All those in favour of including the amendment? It is 1, 2, 3, 4. All those opposed of the amendment? 5. It is being lost. 4, 5. Okay, now we will go... Yep, voting against was Councillor Campbell, Councillor Gibson, Councillor Phillips, Councillor Lewis and Councillor Hockey. All right, so now we will move back to debate on the initials officer's recommendation. So we are now up to the person, anyone wishing to speak against the original officer's recommendation. Is there anyone else wishing to speak for the officer's recommendation? Anyone else wishing to speak on this topic at all? No, then can't close. We don't have a closing debate because you spoke to the amendment. Is that true, or was it because the amendment failed it? Yep. So sorry, Councillor Lewis, you don't have a closing statement. So therefore, the original officer's recommendation, all those in favour, is passed unanimously. All right, pursuant with our standing orders local law, if a meeting progresses past the point of 6 p.m, at 6 p.m. we'll open the floor to another public question time. Same rules as apply to the first public question time. Do I have any members of the public wish to ask any questions or statements at second public question time? Please again state your name at the start of.
Thanks again, Serena Kirby. I was looking at the list of groups that you've agreed to participate in, and I looked at the list of groups that you don't want to participate in, and for me, I see a glaring omission. What happened to your representation for the Denmark Community Resource Centre? There used to be a representative, but I can't see any mention. It's a pretty big and important organisation. It's the busiest and biggest in town.
So your question is why that wasn't...
Through the chair, obviously council have deferred those decisions pending a further conversation. The